you don't have to love my right-wing point of view, but right-wingers need love too. One more time, here we go. Right-wingers need love too. We all need love, indeed we do. Now you don't have to love my right-wing point of view, but right-wingers need love, right-wingers need love, right-wingers need love too.
Suffer the children, I say. Friends, Romans, Kentuckians, lend your ear to my jive. I'm gonna teach you how to cook tender young children alive. Howdy, neighbors. Lonesome Al Barger here, putting the nut in right-wing nut job. I mean, I make Ayn Rand sound like Karl Marx. That's just how wicked and mean I am on this April the 20th of 2012. As the leading internet vast right-wing conspiracy nut job, I instinctively hate all things cuddly and soft and delightful, starting, of course, with children. It's like my hero, the Right Reverend Harry Powell, said. The world is fast going to damnation because of impudent young'uns a-flying in the face of age. Which is why Jesus himself said that we should make the little children suffer. Jesus said, quote, "Suffer the little children," end quote. And that's just what I intend to do. Or as Brother Bernie Mac so succinctly compressed the essence of child-raising wisdom, "I'm a beat 'em to the white meat shows." So, a few days ago on Easter Sunday, I was visiting Pow Girl. Her and old boy had me somewhat sedated with ham and such what, which turned out to be needed fuel for the ordeal of child management ahead. These horribly adorable girls of hers, Jamie and Faith, are 5 and 7, respectively. We were joined in the confines of the sidewalk we were working with for a playground by the 10-year-old neighbor boy and his 8-year-old cousin girl, who has girl cooties. Now, I am a monster, an evil right-wing monster, of course, and I make no bones about it, except, of course, for the bones of the little children that I like to eat for breakfast. I explained to these young sinners that I am a mean, vicious monster of whom they are terribly and rightfully afraid. I stomp menacingly up and down the block, yelling, "Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman." Naturally, the children ran screaming and horrified, as well they should. For some reason, though, it was presumed that the neighbor's fenced-in yard was safe base, nor, for no obvious reason, was I allowed to eat them if they were even touching the fence, which pretty much left 90% of our play area off-limits for the eating of children. But that didn't stop me from explaining to that boy just how I'm a cook him. "Hey, Albo, what's for supper?" "Gonna have us a roasted little boy." I'm explaining to him about how I'm gonna put a good hickory fire going to get the best smoky hickory flavored charcoals. Then I put him on a spit with an apple in his mouth and slow roast him for several hours while basting him deep with sweet baby Ray's barbecue sauce, maybe a few cloves of garlic. Yum, yum. Lips smacking good. 'Cause nothing seasons a boy like some good smoky, tangy barbecue sauce. "Uh-uh," says the boy, back from his state of denial. "You aren't going to eat me." "Yes, huh," I said. "I will, too, eat you, because I'm a scary, vicious monster, and nothing makes a boy taste better than barbecue sauce." He's thinking on this while we're arguing, and after a minute he pauses and asks, "Well, what would you season the girls with?" A future right winger is born. Ha! If I don't eat him, that is. Well, I am off to the races now. The girls are all poking the monster and demanding attention. So I'm stomping up and down the block again like a demented Frankensteinian Julia Childs, ripping for the next hour on my recipes for cooking little girls. In fact, I explained to them that, like Cottontail's friends warned him, some carrots and you make a pretty good stew. So, you start with a couple of pounds of fresh diced girl meat in the bottom of your kettle. Then you fill the pan about halfway with water and get it simmering for maybe an hour to get you a good soup stock going. And then you add in a cup of rice. And of course, there are a lot of different kinds of rice that you could use, which all add different flavors and textures. Now, here's a tip. Actually, I often use simple barley instead for my girl soup. For one thing, it has a much lower glycemic index than rice, which makes it considerably better for diabetic monsters. But I also like the texture of barley. I've also sometimes used rice and barley together. Then, there are all kinds of good vegetables to put in your girl soup. Carrots, onions, and celery are the most obvious, but you might consider turnips for something different. The celery, in particular, will help reduce the sweetness of the girl meat. Dill weed is very good here, as is rosemary, but not too much. The rosemary's strong stuff, and going overboard can ruin a good batch of little girl soup. You don't want to do that. You could also put in some cayenne pepper to make it hot, like Paul Simon's chicken gumbo, because girl soup is what you make of it. As you may be suspecting by now, among my many talents, I am a pretty fair chef. By the way, if young girls are out of season, you can substitute chicken there. In fact, when my favorite Jewish mother gets sick, she calls me for chicken soup. That is how good my chicken soup is, not to brag. Anyway, between the squealing and running and stomping around, there were questions about using sugar and spice and everything nice to season the girls. And no, not for a soup. No, you don't want a sugary soup. Yuck. You might roast a little girl in honey, though, like the ham we just ate. I'll have to try that. So they figured to mess with the monster by filling him up with salad so he wouldn't eat them. Thus, they were pulling leaves off the trees and sticking them in my mouth. After spitting out a couple of mouthfuls, I went to plan B and just ate a few leaves. Those red leaves off that tree on the corner are kind of bitter, though. I wouldn't recommend that. The young spring maple leaves were a little more palatable, though. The idea of me actually eating leaves struck them young heathen hillbillies very humorous for some reason. But still, I explained that I am a meat-eating carnivore, not a vegetable-eating herbivore. I'm proud to say that Miss Faith was using the word herbivore unprompted, spontaneously, and correctly a couple of days ago. So we're picking up some vocabulary at least. But we're still not learning any respect. Again, with the impudent youngins, a flying in the face of age. They didn't seem to fear me in the least. No respect for a monster whatsoever. Indeed, they taunted and mocked the monster. First, he was poking the monster with their fingers. Then they started in with the lip. I couldn't even believe my ears. Nah, nah, boo, boo. They said right to my face. Every single one of them. Mom eventually completed the rhyme for them, so now they know to tell me to stick my head in doo-doo. And that could get Mom eat. Well, that's bad enough, but then they just went all the way from there. In fact, they explained again with Miss Faith leading the peanut gallery that I'm not a mean, vicious monster at all. They took to taunting me with the N-word. That's right. They accused me of being nice. You're not mean. You're really nice. Nice, nicey, nice, nice. They pointed their fingers at me. Ha ha, you're nice. People who didn't know us passing on the streets and them kids is telling them that I'm nice. And I was pretty hot under the collar by then, as you could understand. You take that back. You kids keep spreading vicious lies about me like that, and I'll sue you for libel. Seems like the madder I got, though, the more they all thought it was some big joke. Oh, no, see us shaking? Well, Miss Faith started poking at my big belly and pulling on my full winter beard and insisting that I am Santa Claus, the nicest guy of them all, which is give or take Jesus, of course, and it was Easter Sunday. But Faith is pulling on my beard and demanded that she wants a choo-choo train for Christmas. Yet, if I had beaten down that impudent child, it would have come out that I was the bad guy. Now, Miss Jamie perfectly well understood the play concepts involved, but she's so emotionally tender that she could hardly stand even pretending to be adversarial to me in any way. So she wanted to be a monster too. So me and Jamie terrorized the rest of them for a while. And eventually, after a few hours of this abuse, I escaped with my monster life. I heard third hand the next Saturday that Faith has taken to eating leaves. Mom, Faith's eating leaves again. Plus, she was demanding ranch dressing for them. So baby girl's thinking about me. She was totally enthused when I showed up a couple of days ago with a bag of spinach leaves to chew on and a bottle of ranch dressing. No, she wasn't really interested in suggestions about any other vegetables or toppings on her plate of spinach. She just wanted ranch dressing. No, not Mom's ranch dressing out of the fridge, but the bottle that Al just brought in. I'm telling you, that's dirty pool. It's not fair tugging on a monster's heartstrings like that. It's about enough to make a monster cry. Or make a man want to get a sex change operation and become a dang transgendered, sensitive, bleeding heart Democrat. I believe the children are our future. Ah, fie. Fie on goodness, I say. Well, I guess I ain't mad no more. So I reckon I'll quit talking. Thanks to Dr. BLT for the Right Wingers Need Love 2 theme song. And thank you for listening. You can find much more of my foolishness on the World Wide Interweb at www.morethings.com. MoreThings.com. So then, to close with the words of Jesus, which I reckon is usually a pretty good idea. Unless you be like a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And amen.